Can we turn to, I want to open to in Exodus 12. And I'm going to read 1 to 7. And I got it for us. Just in case you didn't have your Bible with you. So now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the generations of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man should take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of a first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the households where they eat it. Today, it's the month of Nisan. This is the Nisan, the 10th. Nisan is the month that they were supposed to take a lamb. And they took the lamb. A lot of echoing. They take the lamb, they choose it, and they put it in their house. And it speaks of Yeshua, Jesus. This is a foreshadow in Exodus of what is going to be happening as we go through the scriptures today. Jesus will come, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away sin, who redeems. By his blood we have been cleansed. The death will not have hold over us any longer. And think of this beautiful lamb they would take in their house. Had have no blemish. Had to be perfect. And they would make sure that this lamb was perfect. They would make sure there was no blemish on it. For 4 days. Then at twilight, they were supposed to kill it. And Jesus fulfilled that to the very letter of what the scripture speaks of. God is amazing. Nothing happens by chance. God is a God of order. God showed Israel. And you know what? The amazing thing. Even the Egyptians who would have applied the blood would have been saved. And they traveled with the Jewish people. So in Luke 19, 28, we'll start in Luke 19, 28. Sorry. So, you want to read it? How about if one reads to Luke 19, 28 to... Okay. We'll just read as a congregation. Okay. So, Luke 19, 28. And when he had said this, he went on ahead up to Jerusalem. It came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain he called Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one had ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who went, who were sent on their way, and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their coats, their own clothes, on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Even, I think, in John, I think it speaks of, they start putting palm branches. And palm branches were thrown on the thing, representing liberation. That's what palm branches, they were liberation, freedom, be set free from the Romans. You think about how Jesus liberates us. Are we willing to throw down our coats and worship him? He's coming on a colt. And he liberates us. Those who are followers of Christ are liberated from sin and death. Death and sin have no longer no hold over us. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice. 120 of his disciples, at least, maybe more, praising him, coming in. And you got to think of the picture. They're coming from the east, coming into Jerusalem, and they're praising him. And people from the distance, I'm not sure the distance, Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany, how far they are. But you can imagine when he's coming to Jerusalem on a colt, 120 people or more praising him, worshiping him. Think of the people on that road, because it's Lamb Selection Day. Here he is. People start praising him. Other people start joining in, praising and worshiping. And praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that have seen. They've seen mighty works. They've seen people being healed, people set free, people delivered from demonic spirits, people who were lepers healed completely. Jesus is now coming in the foreshadow of pronouncing his public ministry. Before, he always kept it quiet, as much as he could. But here he is. These people are praising him. Could you imagine the sound? Hosanna, Hosanna. God save us. Redeem us. And he has. Those who put their trust in him. The mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Place peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Creation cries out. And now as he drew near and he saw the city, he wept over it. I think of Psalm 148. As you read Psalms 148, it's the praises to the Lord from creation. When Jesus said, even if these disciples would stay silent, creation would worship him. Creation would be singing out, praising him. I would this week read Psalm 148. How the creation praises him for his majesty. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the one who created us. He's the one who has us in his palm. In verse 42 of there, it's saying, Jesus is saying this. He's saying it to the Pharisees. He's telling these to them. He said, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, this is your day, the things that make for you are peace. It's coming in as peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. He said to them, this is all hidden from your eyes. If you would, you got to think about the prophetic word. As a young Jewish man, you have been learning from a very young age, 3, 4 years old, learning the Tanakh, the Torah. You'd be learning scripture. They would know what would be happening. And sometimes, even for ourselves, we can read the Word of God, but sometimes our eyes are hidden from the truth because maybe we're blinded from it. So today is Palm Sunday, which is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Today reminds us that God is faithful. He is all-knowing, in control. And what he had spoken in the past will come to fruition. It will come. The time that Jesus would come, introduce him, was prophesied in Daniel 9:24. In Daniel 9:24, it was prophesied 483 years prior to Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. Can you imagine 483 years ago in Daniel 9:24 was prophesied and it came to fruition? It came prophetically, was fulfilled that day. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time before being crucified, right, as recorded in Luke 19:28-44, Zechariah 9:9 is another prophetic prophecy that was fulfilled that day. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. You know, can you imagine if Jesus would have told you, go ahead and grab this donkey that's going to be tied up? Shows you he knows all things. He knows exactly where things are going to be. You know, when a king rode on a donkey, it represented that the king was coming in peace. He was proclaiming that he was the king of peace. When Jesus comes back, not as at his appearing, but at his second coming, he'll come back on a horse. That's for war. And he will put his foot on the Mount of Olives. So today, the 10th of Nisan, he came in on riding on a donkey, a colt, that never had a yoke on it. A yoke that never been put on. It was never ridden. Have you ever tried to ride something that has never been broke? Good luck. I'm not going to look at Kelly because she's probably done it a few times. So riding a colt reveals a characteristic of his meekness. Jesus is meek, not weak. Meek. There's a difference. His humility. You know, he's coming into Jerusalem to bring liberty, to bring freedom. That Jesus is the only one that can give eternal and everlasting peace and everlasting life to those who put their trust in him. In Matthew 11:28-29, it says, Jesus is saying this, he says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give rest, give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Isn't that amazing? Matthew 11, 28 to 29. So when you think about here he is, the creator. He was in the beginning. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning. He was there. He formed everything. The creator of the world is coming in, riding on a donkey, a colt. Shows you how personal he is. Jesus is not an unapproachable king. He is a king we can approach without fear. He invites us. He says, come to me. Come. Psalm 118, 18 to 29 was prophesied approximately 1,000 years before Jesus came. Who wants to read Psalm 118, 18 to 29? 18 to 29. You have it? 118, 18 to 29. Use the mic, please.
Word has been... Hello? Oh. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. Is it to 21?
118.
Yeah, 118, 18 to 21.
29.
I heard 21. And I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Let's read Isaiah 62, 10 to 12. Isaiah 62, 10 to 12. These are prophetic. These are words, prophetic words. That's our Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, 10 to 12.
Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, take up the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
So in the Passion Week, Jesus, how many prophetic scriptures do you think Jesus fulfilled during this week from the 10th of Nisan to the 14th? He fills 27 prophecies. In the next 4 days, Jesus with himself will fulfill 27 prophecies. That's amazing. Do you know that from Jesus' birth to his death and his resurrection, resurrection, do you know how many prophetic words that he fulfilled? Prophetic prophecies? Over 300. That's not all the prophetic word. Prophecies are not all fulfilled yet. There's still more to be happened. Right? You think of in 1967, Israel became a nation. That was a prophetic word. Our faith is built on the word of God, which is solid, unshakable. You place your faith in Jesus Christ, who's God in the flesh. Our faith is affirmed on the word of God. Bible prophecy and through even how they've been digging up around Jerusalem and all around the area, we found so much historical facts to back up the truth of the gospel. Well, through the last how many years? You look how much, everything, you go back right from the beginning of the Bible to now, Solomon's temple. You find all the stuff, all the works of everything proving the Bible. But yet, sometimes we doubt it. Sometimes we doubt the Word of God. But yet, the Word of God has never failed us. The Word of God has never led us astray. The Word of God is always should be giving us assurance. Do we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to praise you because of who you are? God invites us to trust him, depend on him, rely on him, to abide in him, and to follow him. We're called to follow him. Too often we try to be that stubborn mule that doesn't want to be led. You know, faith is not we find it difficult to trust God, but that God's character must be proven trustworthy in our hearts and minds. That means we need to trust his word, apply his word, and allow him to walk out in his word. We could read the scriptures, but if we never apply them and to walk out in faith, how can our faith ever grow? That's why we could get so blinded from the truth of the gospel. You think of all these Jewish people. Here they see Zechariah 9:9 coming, being fulfilled that day. How many of us do you think they would have known that scripture? But they were blinded from that hour. 120 were cheering and on because they were disciples of him. And people that were saved from that, and he applied, they were like, man, this is the Messiah. The one that's been talked about through the generations. This Holy Week, God, in this Holy Week, may God direct our thoughts and our attention towards what matters most. And that's Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday reminds us that Christ reigns. He's far greater than any man could ever conceive or plan. He's the greatest thing ever. Man looked for something to fight their battles in the present day. Yet God had an ultimate plan of sending his Son, his Word. John 1 talks about his word became flesh. That's Jesus. He's the flesh. The word of God becoming flesh. God is the one who fights our battles. Not a government, not the military, but God. You know, God had an ultimate plan by sending his son to fight the final battle over death. This is the greatest, this is the greatness of why we can celebrate this week, this Passion Week. To even be celebrating and recognizing that we were dead in our sins. We could never muster enough righteousness to be holy in front of God, a holy God. Jesus is the one that makes us holy and righteous by his blood, by his sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. Because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, we can be set free from the power of sin and be eternally united with the Heavenly Father. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know, Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the ones slaves whom you obey, rather of sin leading to death. Sin, before we know Christ, sin would lead us. And sin gives us, causes disobedience. So leading to death, or obedience leading to righteousness. Christ gives us victory over sin, which leads to righteousness. But God be thanked, through you we're slaves of sin. We were once slaves to sin. We should not be slaves to sin any longer. That's why he says, die to self. Put off the old and put on the new. Sin should not be ruling your life today. You have been set free from the power of sin, over the dominion of sin in your life. If you're allowing sin to rule and reign in your life today, Christ is the only answer who can set you free from that power of sin that rules in your life. He's the only one that can deliver you. You know, in verse 18 it says, and having set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. This is what Christ does. He sets us free from the sin and gives us righteousness. The day that Jesus comes into Jerusalem, it was actually called the Lamb Selection Day. Lamb Selection Day was a day the priest would pick a perfect lamb, pick it for the Passover feast. Lamb Selection Day. In Scripture, on the 10th of Nisan, families would select the lambs, as we read in Exodus. And then they would pick it in the late afternoon. Jesus also rode into the city in the late afternoon, the day offering himself as the lamb. Jesus, not by coincidence, but he came in the day and the hour when the lamb, Passover lamb, was picked. That's amazing. And you think about when he's riding on the donkey. From Genesis to Revelation, it speaks of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Genesis 22:8 says, God himself will provide a lamb. In Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the lamb who is slain. Jesus is revealed as our Passover lamb. Jesus entered through the eastern gate of Jerusalem. It's also called the Golden Gate or the Beautiful Gate. In Acts 3:2. In Hebrew, it's also called the Gate of Mercy. He enters through the Gate of Mercy on a donkey, coming as a King of Peace. And know that gate is closed up today. The Muslims filled in that gate because they don't want the Messiah to come through it. But Jesus has already been through that gate. They also, I believe, they put a cemetery out front of it. So you cannot go through it. But Jesus already fulfilled this prophetic word. He comes through this gate riding a donkey. Isn't this exciting? Isn't how rich the Word of God is? I love knowing the truth of the gospel. It brings so much joy. And you can't refute it. You can't even go against it. I hope that today we will grasp how rich the Word of God is. And who we are in the right relationship with Christ now. Because those who have given their lives to Christ have been redeemed. You have been set free. You have liberty. You're no longer sinners, but a child of God in right relationship with the Heavenly Father, with Abba Father. We can go to the Father at any given time through Christ. We don't have to offer any sacrifices, but we can freely come to Him at any given time. You know, Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for 4 days before the Passover. This is not a coincidence. The lamb chosen for the sacrifice for each family in the 10th of Nisan must be visible for 4 days before Passover in order for everyone to observe this lamb. What do you think Jesus was doing for 4 days in Jerusalem? He is being vetted. They would ask him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees would be talking to him. People in Jerusalem would see him, touch him. They would see him, knowing that he's perfect, without blemish. Nothing was wrong with him. He had to be vetted for 4 days, fulfilling Scripture. During these 4 days of inspection of the lambs, the perfect Lamb of God was presented daily at the temple. He was at the temple interacting with them, showing that he was a perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist, you know, he even said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Romans 5, 6 to 11. Who wants to read Romans 5, 6 to 11? Romans 5, 6 to 11. No. Yeah, Romans 5, 6 to 11. Romans 5, 6 to 11.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, that's a great word, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
In Isaiah 42, 5 to 8, it says, this is what the Lord, what God the Lord says, He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people, and the life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I'll make you hold of your, I will take hold of your hand, and I'll keep you, and I'll make you to be a covenant for my people, a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes of the blind, to free the captives from the promise, from the prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. You think about salvation comes to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. But you think about how God sets us to take hold of our hand, and I'll keep you, and I'll make you to be a covenant for the people and light. You know how much of a blessing it is for us to open the eyes that are blinded, to free the captives from prison. That's how we were. We were blinded, we were captive by sin and by shame. And Christ liberates us from that. We're no longer captives in prison. We've been set free by Christ, by his stripes that we are healed. We're no longer in dungeons, no longer in darkness, but we are in light. So Mark 10, so Mark 10, 51 to 52. This is before Jesus comes into, before he comes on his, to the way to Jerusalem. This is what happens before he comes to Jerusalem. So who wants to read that? Go, Elijah.
So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road.
Yeah. I know in 46 it says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out to Jericho and with his disciples and the great multitude, the blind Bartholomew, the son of Timaeus, sat on the road begging." Here's a man who is blinded and he's begging for his sight. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "Come, tell the man to stand up." How do we respond when Jesus tells us to stand up? And Jesus touches this man and gives him sight. We all were blinded at one time. And only Christ gives you sight to see. And to see, can you imagine? This blind man sees the Passover lamb. To the man, Jesus is going to be setting them free from his sins. You know, and then Jesus said to him, "Go." Well, 51 says, so Jesus answered him, says, "What do you want from me to do for you?" Jesus wants him to ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" Then Jesus said to him, "You know, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus going to Jerusalem. His sight was recovered, no longer blind. Captive, he freely followed Jesus. The first thing he saw when his eyes were opened was the Lamb. Blindness is not being able to see the Lamb. He was blind, was not able to see the Lamb. The Lamb who would take the sin upon his shoulders of the world. John tells us in Revelation 13, 8, that he is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Healing, freedom, wholeness in every part of our lives, our physical, spiritual, mental. Jesus could heal those areas of our lives. Jesus is so much more than what we could ever think of. I think we too often limit of who he is. Like, have we ever put Jesus in a box? He sets us free. He's delivered us from the power of sin. We shouldn't have any shame. We shouldn't have any guilt. It takes that away. He makes you whole. He makes you righteous, not because of anything you have done. It's all because of Christ. Yeshua, salvation. He's our salvation. In Luke 19:45, he says, when Jesus came into the temple, he cleansed it. Because they were buying and selling stuff that they... The temple was made to be worshiping God. A place where his word was held high. It was a place of thieves, a place that was not honoring God. He came in there and disrupted it, and made it. He cleansed the temple. He came in and cleansed the temple. I think about when we become a child of God, our bodies become the temple of God. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of God? Scripture says that. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God? He lives within us. His Holy Spirit lives within us, seals us for the day of when he redeems us. Putting his seal of approval on us. His Holy Spirit lives within us. When we come to be a believer, a follower of the way, he cleanses this flesh, cleanses us. Think about when you became a believer. Before a believer, you did so many things that were not honoring to God. How much filth and junk was in your hearts. How you acted and reacted, how you lived, was not very honoring to God. I could speak highly of that. I could speak how all of us could probably speak of how God regenerated our lives and cleansed us, renewed us, took all that garbage out of us. Praise the Lord. He cleared and cleansed the temple that the Holy Spirit lives within you. That's why we are no longer ourselves. Our body, my body, does not belong to me. My body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. We do not own ourselves, so I can't go out and do whatever I feel like doing. That's like slapping God in the face. We're not taking his word. We're not having holy reverence and holy fear of the God who saved us, who redeemed us. So why do we keep on living a life that dishonors God? We should be living and repenting. Say, Lord, I know I fell short today. Lord, forgive me for doing my thing. Lord, have your way in me. change my heart, change my attitude. Help me to see, take the blinders off my eyes. Help me to be one to be obedient to you and to your word, to live out your word, to be a child that honors you. That's what he wants. He wants you to live for him. Not for yourself. Not for your selfish ambitions. That's why we need to die to self. And to put on the newness that's found in Christ alone. This body is his temple. So let him determine what takes place inside. He will search you, reveal things that need to be dealt with, maybe attitudes, maybe whatever it is, he will deal with you at time. It's called sanctification, ongoing process. We're not perfect yet, but trust him. When you hear God's voice speaking to you, say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, let me be willing to surrender whatever you speak of. There's things in our homes that he wants us to get rid of. Don't be disobedient. Get rid of them. Things in our lives he's speaking to you about. Get rid of it. Burn it. Who cares about the value of it? You belong to him. Just as Jesus exercised his authority to restore the temple purpose, he desires to get rid of any unclean and harmful things that exist in our lives. He's a very gentle, loving, patient God, but a holy, righteous God. My hope is that today you say, Lord, I surrender all. Lead me by your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me for being disobedient and rebellious to you. Rebellion to God is sin. Ponder and think about the things of this week. This is the week that our people are watching. And we have been set free from so much. No longer living in darkness. We can be excited, be joyful, overflowing for what he has done for us. We serve an amazing God. Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our Passover lamb. You take away our sin. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, when we confess our sins unto you, you choose not to remember any longer. Or you don't hold those against us any longer as well. So, Lord, help us to surrender to you. Help us to repent and to be getting right relationship with you. Lord, help us to have a heart that really is yielded to you. Thank you, Lord, that you bring us peace and you bring us joy. Thank you that we are like that donkey that only you could control. And that we'd be willing to surrender to you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about Good Friday. As we ponder the scriptures, you think about this week, what Jesus goes through, what he faces. He did it for you. Not because of anything that you have done, but because of what he's trying to do, what he has fulfilled. He has fulfilled this. He has set you free.
earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, other spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God.